Let's get to my favorite segment that we do here on the Piffles podcast, Talk to Rider Alumni. Joining us on the line this week is one of the greatest receivers that the Riders and the CFL has ever seen. He's a Canadian Football Hall of Famer and really needs no introduction. We are happy to be joined by Narco Don Narcisse. Mr. Narcisse, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. First off, we got to talk about the East Final and the 2017 season for the Riders in general. Now, us as fans, we look at the season as a success because no one really expected this team to be, you know, 23 seconds away from a Grey Cup appearance. Now, as a former player yourself, would you view a year like this from the Riders as a success?
I would definitely call it a success because, you know, we started off like 2-4. Nobody expected us to even, you know, get into the playoffs, but getting the opportunity to cross over, that was a gift right there. Nobody has ever done it, but just for those guys to be in that position to where they got, and they always say, you know, football is a matter of inches. Man, it's just it came so close. I knew it was going to be a nail biter, but that was an exciting game at the end. So that's what it's all about, man. But you know, I tell you what, this is a great, that game there was a great, it was something that was great for the for Saskatchewan fans and, you know, for the coaching staff. You know, they've been working hard, man. They've been putting some work in. That Coach Young been putting some work. He's been putting some work in. So, you know, it finally paid off for the guys and everything. And that's the good part about it.
And you still follow the team. So going into 2018, the team is clearly trending up. What do they need to do to get over that hump and get to the Grey Cup?
Well, the one thing is this, is that, you know, a lot of guys got a chance to experience how the playoffs were. They just got to get stable in certain areas, you know, as far as quarterback. You know, you got to have a quarterback that's going to stay in the game and stuff like that. But I think they're going to be searching for a quarterback. That's going to be one of the most important things because you have some great receivers. I tell you, you got guys that's over 6'2", and it's like three or four of them, maybe five, and they all can play. But I tell you what, you know, you win games by the defense. You win championships with defense, and with the defense playing the way it is, I think I just heard that my homeboy just got signed, which is Jefferson, which is pretty cool. You know, so I think they're going to have the same guys that's around, and you know, they're just going to build from this.
Do you see any similarities between this Riders team now and any of the teams that you played on at all?
You know, how can I say it? We went to the playoffs one time. You can say the 89 Grey Cup team. You know, a lot of people didn't know. You know, we started off kind of slow, and we picked it up, and it's just the guys gelling together. You know, like in 1988, you know, we had the song. We made it to the playoffs, and we had the song "11 Is Enough." You know, that year there, it's like we all came together. And we built something. Then the following year, here come 89, we won the Grey Cup. So that's the same for this team here, you know. And like in 1988, it's just like them. They made it to the playoffs. They got a taste of it. And now, you know, next year should be, you know, a lot of teams are going to be looking for us just for the next year.
Now that 11 years, that's enough song. I know Glenn Suter, he looks at it as not so much a black mark, but, you know, he's not necessarily the most proud of that.
Right.
Do you still sing that every once in a while just for fun?
You know, every once in a while I see it on Facebook, and, oh, man, it's amazing because I'm not no rapper. I don't know how to sing or whatever, but I had my words down and everything. I was going with the beat and stuff, man. It was just a great time to be doing it at that time, and next thing you know, years later, look at it, it's something that you remember for the rest of your life.
And obviously the last couple of years were tough on the team, and you played on a few years that were, quite frankly, pretty bad. Did you find it hard to finish playing those years when things never seemed to get better?
No, you know, it's all about a team. You know, when I go out and talk to kids, I remember I had to go and talk to some kids about teamwork. You know, teamwork is like this. You know, you might not be doing as well, But you know what? If you can do your part and you take your time and do your part, everybody else will do theirs. And that's how you build. That's you never blame nobody else. You blame yourself. You put yourself in the mirror. What can I do to make the team better? And by doing those things, that's what kind of like, you know, that's kind of things that help all of us out in building a team and coming together as one. And as you can see on this team here, man, those guys are like brothers. You know, they you see on the sidelines where you see how they do they touchdown dances. Oh my goodness, that's unbelievable for them to be that creative. I was like, man, where do you get the time to do things like that? I wish I had enough time. I used to do my stuff in the mirror, but these guys putting some work in on getting it done. But that's what it's all about, having fun. And, you know, having Coach Jones on, these guys play, they play for that coach. They love their coach, I tell you that.
Now, when you're near the end of your career and were in the midst of keeping your consecutive games with a catch streak alive, just how much did it mean to you to, A, have that streak, and B, to have a team that wanted you to keep you involved in the game and get you that catch every game?
Well, I tell you what I used to always tell people is that when I broke the record, when it was set at 137, when I got to like one when they told me that I was coming close to a record, I was like, a record of doing what? And they were like, catching at least one pass in every game. I was like, wow. If you're a receiver, that's what you're supposed to do anyway. So I never thought about it. I never asked the quarterback to throw me a pass. I never looked into it. I remember we were playing against Montreal, and it was like 2 minutes left in the game, and I haven't had a catch. I haven't gotten a catch. And the bad part about it is that the defensive backs knew that I didn't have my catch. And we had a guy in the huddle. It was our third string quarterback. His name was Heath Rollins. And he was handing off the ball to the running back, and he kept it, and then he started running. Then next thing you know, he threw the ball to me, and I caught a 2-yard pass, and I was like, wow. You know, that was the longest that I had to wait. But for a football player, for me, I look at it now. I played in 216 games. I caught one pass in every game that I played. I don't think there's ever anybody in professional football that ever done that. And, man, I'm so proud of that because I know a lot of guys that haven't done it.
And other than the streak and, of course, the 1989 Grey Cup championship season, what would you say was the one game or accomplishment that stood out to you in your career?
Well, you know, the one that really stood out is that when I got a chance to fly my dad down and I became the all-time leading receiver, that was one of the memorable times of my life because, you know, I only had one scholarship to go to go to college. The only reason why I made it to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, my mama sent me $40 to go try out for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That moment when I got a chance to be the all-time leading receiver was just amazing because it was something that I accomplished. And I never was the best guy on the football field. I never was the best receiver. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the tallest. But you know what? I just worked harder than everybody else. And the one part about it is this, is that I have asthma. And a lot of people didn't know I had asthma. And as much as I wanted to breathe, that's how much I wanted to succeed on the football field. So I used to run all day. And that time of being an all-time leading receiver, I tell you, my dad had the time of his life. And I really appreciate my family. That's what it was all about.
Now, you mentioned coming up here to Saskatchewan in 1987. What was your first impression of it when you got up here?
It was my first impression. You know, I had started off with the St. Louis Cardinals. And then when I got cut, I had met this. When I was with the St. Louis Cardinals, I had met this guy. His name was Ken Alston. He was with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was a quarterback for the St. Louis Cardinals for a year. And I was a rookie that year. And I got released, and they had this guy by the name of Dan Rambo say, hey, we want to fly you down to Saskatchewan. And I called my mom on the phone. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to this place called Regina, Saskatchewan. She's like, where is that? I was like, Mom, I don't know where it is either. And And then I showed up. It was September 4th, and I'm telling you, man, I got off the plane, and it was cold. And I was like, wow. But the team was like, I think the team was like 1-8. And the first game we played, it was in Edmonton. Then the next game was in Saskatchewan. And I was like, man, I know doggone well ain't going to have no fans at the game, because now we like, what, about 1-9? And showed up to the game. I'm like, wow, look at all this green out here. These people, he ain't no joke. They love their team. And right off of there, man, it was unbelievable, man. That these fans are amazing. They are everywhere.
Now, we've asked a few of your old teammates from the 89 team about a good road trip story, and they've all said the same one about taking everything out of a hotel room. So you can't pick that one, but do you have a good road trip story that you can tell us about, maybe?
I can tell you. For a road trip for me, I was real, real cheap. And what happens is this, is that when you go on a 3-day trip, the team will give you an allowance, and they'll give you maybe $120. So the first thing I do, I twist my $100 up. I twist it where you can't even see it anymore. And I like, I'm gonna have this all the way until when I leave, I'm gonna still have my $100 on me. And guys knew I only ate when the team was offering food. So then, like, if I had, they had a lot of people knew that I was real cheap, right? So I don't look at no TV, I don't look at no movies. So they had put a rookie in my room, and he was like, "Hey man, hey Don, I want to look at a movie." And I looked at him, I was like, "Man." So what I did, I told him, I was like, "Hey man, I'm gonna turn to the side. I'm gonna let you go ahead and look at the movie, but I'm not paying for it. You got to pay for it yourself." And guys used to get a kick out of that, because that's, you know, my job. When I went on a road trip, it was all about football. I ain't worried about going out, eating nowhere, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was real cheap.
So did you have all that stack of $100 bills after the season?
Yes, I did. You know, and I used to always have a little layaway where I'd go to Tip Top and go buy me a suit.
That's awesome.
Now, what's your favorite memory of Taylor Field? Will you miss that place at all now that it's, you know, basically a pile of rubble?
Yeah, you know, they used to call it the parking lot, man. The field was nice and hard, no cushion at all. It was a great memory. I got a chance to score a lot of touchdowns there, but we celebrated a lot, and the fans just love that stadium. It was unbelievable. In 1989, the first game of the season, I remember that we were down like 19 points with a minute and 21 seconds left. We were playing against Calgary, and all the fans left the game, and it was amazing. We came back and won that game. I got a chance. I think I scored like 2 touchdowns. I was like, that stuff was unbelievable. And the people that stayed to the game, it was unbelievable. That stadium will be remembered. A lot of people have a lot of memories at that stadium, but I tell you what, that stadium was awesome. But the stadium we have now is very awesome.
So obviously you keep busy now with work, but when you have spare time, what keeps you busy?
Well, you know, I try to just stay fit. You know, I try to, I'm on the treadmill, I'm at work, I work out. But what I do now, I do a lot of speaking engagements. That's what keeps me going. You know, the one thing that I wanted to do is when I moved back to Saskatchewan, I wanted to give back, because the fans did so much for me. If it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't have played for no 13 years. They kept me here. The one thing when I did move back, I wanted to give back, and the best way I wanted to give back was through the kids. And I started my football camp, the Dawn Nurses All-Star event, and I've been rolling it been having it for the last 7 years. I've touched a whole bunch of kids, and I tell you, it's amazing what my camp has done. You know, I started off with one, now I got about 9 of them that I do throughout the province. and I'm trying to make a difference in these kids' lives. You know, I get a chance to go speak at different banquets and football banquets. I'm going to Millville on the 25th and go through a nice little speech for them. And, you know, it's been a blessing because I was a shy kid when I was growing up. Now all of a sudden I'm a motivational speaker from Podoc to Texas. I'm so proud of myself, but I'm so proud to be back in Saskatchewan.
Who would you say is your hero and why?
Who is my hero and why? That's a good question, but I try to break it up in three parts of my life. When I came out of high school, I was looking to get a scholarship. This coach named Coach Williams, he put in a good word in for me with the recruiter, because nobody wanted to, you know, I was 5'6", 145 pounds, nobody wanted me. And he put a good word with Texas Southern University because one of the coaches over there had played with him in college. And he was like, hey, man, this guy named Donald Narcisse, he has a great attitude, he works hard, and he can catch a BB in the dark. And that's how I got my scholarship. And then the next person is my college coach always told me that, Don, you're never going to be perfect. You're going to always have to keep working on your game, because you know what? They're going to have somebody just like you that you're going to have to meet up against. And I tell you what, I used that when I started playing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I tell you, man, he taught me so much of how to be a receiver, how to use my hands, not to use any gloves and stuff like that. And then my mom and dad, you know, sending me those $40 to go try out for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. If you don't know, my mom used to send me $20 to every month, and she didn't send it through the mail. Whoever was going towards Houston, she'll send it with them. And I used to have to live on those $20 a month in college. And when my mom sent me those $40 and told me to give $20 to the guy that was driving it for the gas and keep $20 for myself, I look at it now and I'm like, wow, man, I'm still living on those $40 that my mom gave me. And I'm so proud to be a part of this, because nobody knew that I was going to become a Hall of Famer. And it's unbelievable. I'm just making the best of it and trying to bless other people to make them as awesome as I was.
That's incredible. Don, do you have a hidden talent that Ryderville doesn't necessarily know about?
A hidden talent like what?
Oh, like can you juggle, or are you a karaoke star?
Yeah. You know what? I'm one guy that only can catch a football. I can't play no basketball. Can't play baseball. Can't do nothing. But I can catch a football. Yeah, I can catch a football. So
you did it pretty good though. So there's that.
Yeah. So I can catch a football and stuff like that. So yeah, but yeah.
So most important question of the day. Uh-huh. Do you like dogs or cats better, and why?
Dogs or cats. You know what? I like dogs because I did have a dog when I was growing up. His name was Joey, and that was the only dog I ever had.
What was the right answer, by the way?
Home, but I got a chance to. You see, in my family, my dad, he never had a dog. He never grew up with a dog, and he didn't want nobody to have a dog, you know. So I had one, but I didn't have him for long. But I enjoyed having him.
Well, Mr. Narcisse, thank you so much for your time tonight, and thank you for everything you've done for this team, this province, and this fan base. Right now, I mean, I'm a fairly young guy myself, relatively speaking, I like to think, and you're one of the main reasons why I'm a big Rider fan, so thank you so much for that.
Well, thank y'all so much, and everybody know I'm at Capital GMC. I know I don't have to say it because I'm always on Facebook posting it, but I tell you what, if you ever need me, if anybody need me to talk to their kids, hit me up. I'll send your kid a message. I'll tape a video, send it to your kid. I'll do anything for you. So just hit me up. I'll do anything for you. So y'all take care, man. I really appreciate y'all having me on there, too.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. Thank you so much, Mr. Narcisse.
Okay. Yeah, take care.
Donald Narcisse here on the Piffles Podcast. Narco is one of those guys who really got our, like I said, our generation of fans into the game and into what Rider Pride is all about. You still see Narcisse jerseys at the stadium, and people still get his name on the new jerseys today. And like you said, if you ever need a car or anything, I'm sure he'll help you out with that. And it was just, he was the best. Don Narcisse, he was the reason why a lot of us became Rider fans. So an absolute pleasure to talk to him tonight.